Welcome to Studio 86, in-depth discussions with RIT newsmakers. Come on inside.
Welcome inside Studio 86. I'm Mike Safran of RIT University News Services, and today we will be talking cybercrime and cyber ethics. October this month is National and New York State Cybersecurity Month, and we're joined today by Dr. Sam McQuaid, who is the Graduate Program Coordinator in the Center for Multidisciplinary Studies in the College of Applied Science and Technology. And Dr. McQuaid is also the organizer of the Rochester Regional Cyber Safety and Ethics Initiative, which involves Rochester area school districts. So we're talking cybercrime and cyber ethics as it involves, as it affects, and as it is affected by area school children. Sam, why don't we start off by hearing a little bit about this initiative for those who are unfamiliar with it. Tell us about it.
Well, currently, 30 school districts from throughout the Monroe County area and three national organizations, including the Information Systems Security Association, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the FBI's InfraGuard program, which is a public education program designed to increase awareness about how to protect critical infrastructure, have joined forces to explore ways in which we can provide education for K through 12 students, along with adult workforce training to include parents in how to prevent cybercrime in all of its forms.
And we're also joined today by John Falacco, who is the College of Applied Science and Technology beat reporter. Welcome, John.
Thanks for having us, Mike. That's a pretty diverse group you mentioned, Sam. How were you able to get all of those groups together and to rally behind this important issue?
Actually, it turned out to be much easier than I ever imagined. I started in 2004 with the help of colleagues here at RIT to explore the nature and extent of computer use, offending, and victimization among our college students. And what I found were pretty stunning findings pertaining to levels of offending and victimization and the interplay of those. That is to say, ways in which college students abuse information systems on some occasions and how others are victimized by that abuse and the reality that oftentimes, unfortunately, students can go from becoming a victim to also offender and back and forth. When I shared that information with area superintendents, their typical reaction was, we're experiencing that as well in our high schools and middle schools, and that led to an opportunity to brief them and solicit their support for more research in the primary and secondary age levels.
Tell us, what exactly is the mission of this initiative?
The mission of the initiative is to affirm the nature and extent of cyber offending and victimization by and among children, with implications for adults, including parents, and then to transform those research findings into valuable educational programming and workforce training programming that can be offered throughout Monroe County. Ultimately, what we'd like to do is create a cyber-safe city here in Rochester, New York, and hold it up as a model to all of New York State and potentially even the nation.
Tell us about this research you've been conducting.
Well, as I mentioned, the research began in 2004 at the college level. After we did the initial RIT study, we did the exact same survey at SUNY Brockport. And what we found actually didn't surprise us. That is that there was no real difference between students at RIT, a large private technological institute, and SUNY Brockport, a relatively small public general education college and university. So a college student is a college student is a college student when it comes to cyber offending and victimization. With that knowledge, then, we were able to design more complicated research in age-appropriate ways for five different age cohorts in the K through 12 range. So, for example, we developed a survey instrument specifically for kindergarten through first graders, and for second and third graders, and for fourth through sixth grade, and for the middle school students in seventh through ninth grade, and then also for the high school students in grades 10 through 12. Five different student surveys, all designed in age-appropriate ways to talk about the nature and extent of their computer use and ways in which they are victimized and cause harm online. We also designed surveys for parents and for teachers in such a way that we can correlate responses from the adults participating in the study with those of students. So, for example, if a student provides certain information, we can tag that to the responses of parents and vice versa to find out what's actually going on in households. And we're able at a general level to compare the student responses in a school district with those of teachers who are also participating in the study.
Can you share some of the findings you extracted from the research you conducted last spring in our area schools?
We had five school districts participate in what we call the phase one or pilot of the study, that being in May through June of 2007. A total of 13,773 students provided answers to a series of questions developed for their age groups, as I previously indicated. And here are some of the major findings. Most kindergarten age kids use the net and are exposed to content that makes them feel uncomfortable. Yet 1 in 4 do not report disturbing incidents or materials to grown-ups. We also found that cyberbullying begins in the second grade when kids report being mean to each other online. And this is the same age when 8% of these children report seeing or being told private things about the bodies of other people while they're online. We found that illegal pirating of music, movies, and software via peer-to-peer networks begins in the fourth grade, as does kids' sharing of personal information about themselves with friends and strangers online. By middle school, grades 7 through 9, 8% of students report defeating internet filtering and blocking software installed on home computers by their parents. They engage in many forms of cyber-enabled offending, spanning academic dishonesty to purchasing illegal or prescription drugs online, among many other types of computer-related abuse and crime. At this age, they are also victims of many types of online abuse and crime, not limited to those of a sexual nature, and many kids are victimized in more than one way every year. RIT's research also reveals that this general trend continues through high school and into college years. We found that cybercrime involves much more than adult sexual offenders targeting children online, and that most online abuse and crime involving students goes unreported and undetected. Students often victimize each other online even as they are victimized by adults, and they often know the offenders beforehand, whether they are adults or fellow students. I believe that our nation now faces a largely unseen high-tech crime paradigm involving untold social and economic harm. Left unchecked, I believe America will increasingly perpetuate generations of students and future adult employees capable of and likely predisposed to abuse information technology. What's really important to understand about this research that began in 2004 and is ongoing now, even as we speak, into the fall of 2007, is that we have a continuum of behaviors. We're finding that the older people become, the more devices they are likely to use, the more time they'll spend online, the more interactions they'll have, and the more they will be exposed to potential victimization through the use of computers and other IT devices, as well as likely to become involved in potential harmful and even criminal activities. This is something that we need to prevent through early education and continuing education and workforce training.
Did any of the findings particularly surprise you?
Yes. I was surprised by how early the harmful computing can begin. When we talked to second through third graders about what they do online, we found that a good number of them are mean to each other online. Who knew, for example, that cyberbullying, some combination of online threats, intimidation, embarrassment, intentionally delivered through email, instant messaging, websites, and so forth, would begin that early in our society? What are the implications with regard to other areas of offending? Who knew that pirating of music and movies and other software begins as early as the fourth grade, when children are typically 10 years of age. Today, colleges and universities throughout our country are responding to cease and desist notices effectively delivered by the Recording Industry Association of America, the Motion Picture Association of America, and by Congress itself. We need to crack down on pirating on our college and university campuses. I agree. We should do more to intervene. But the problem is the behavior begins long before young men and women apply to and enter college. This is a societal problem. It's a complex issue. It requires integrative solutions that that involve schools and parents in the home, as well as employers across many employment sectors.
So now we have this large set of data that confirms our fears. Young children are engaging in dangerous and unlawful behavior on the internet. What the heck do we do about it?
Well, as I've already indicated, we have to intervene. We need to provide better levels of adult supervision, primarily by parents in the homes and throughout the community. We're finding that a good deal of harmful activities online are actually committed outside the home, given the portability of the electronic devices, such as cell phones, that students today are carrying around with them. In addition to more aggressive supervision by parents, we need to provide positive role modeling. My advice to any parents listening to this show would be to actively engage your children about what they do online. Talk to them about who they're talking with online, what they're talking about, and so forth. I think that we should encourage our students to use computers and other electronic devices to enhance their learning, to enhance their education, to explore, and to consistently prepare themselves for greater responsibilities in using this technology. I'm not at all concerned about the extent to which we support that type of development. It's appropriate in our modern times, especially in a country that depends on critical information infrastructure for everything that it does. At the same time, however, we can't be naive. Students today typically are not systematically provided with supervision and positive role modeling, much less education, across the curriculum provided by our schools in how to be safe online, how to protect their systems, themselves, and their data online, and how to use computing devices responsibly. That's something we must redress as a community and as a society.
So, Sam, what I'm hearing from you is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a myth that most cybercrime out there is adult predators targeting children. Your research is showing otherwise.
My research and other prominent research underscores that very point. The congressionally funded studies that were commissioned by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children in 1999 and in 2004, typically regarded as the National Youth Internet Surveys, found that approximately half of all unwanted solicitations for sex received by adolescents were issued by other adolescents themselves. Youth today are using the technology at their disposal to facilitate their exploration of sexuality. That's part of their maturation process. There's nothing odd or strange about that. Certainly, adult sexual predators are something to be concerned about, but we shouldn't be fixated on that particular aspect of cybercrime. There are many forms of cybercrime that our youth today are harmed by and engage in. They themselves, unfortunately, and as a function of their puberty and sexual exploration, are committing certain sex-related crimes, but they're also committing other forms of crime: academic cheating, purchasing illegal drugs online, credit card fraud, up to and including identity theft when it's prolonged, and so forth. Cybercrime just isn't hacking and cracking and all of these things that are typically portrayed and sensationalized by the media. It's a much more fundamental problem in our society, and that's what we need to come to terms with.
And so now that we know that, now that your research has brought this to society's attention, what's next for the initiative? Where do you go from here?
We're continuing to survey 9 additional school districts this fall throughout Monroe County. By the time our study is finished in November, we will have surveyed approximately 70,000 K through 12 students, along with several thousand teachers and parents. We expect to have our findings generated and available for public dissemination early in 2008. And that information will be used to inform decision-making around the types of curriculum improvements that we need to make, training available to teachers in school districts, and training that we can make available through the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and potentially other venues for parents and adult workers throughout our community.
Who's supporting this initiative? Who's making this all possible?
Well, we're very fortunate to be supported currently by Arbor Networks, as well as the Semantic Corporation, Global Crossing, and Great Lakes Networks. Those companies have provided cash and in-kind support to support the ongoing research. I must also mention, however, that RIT itself, a number of organizational components, are contributing to this initiative. At this stage, it really is an RIT-led initiative in full partnership with the other organizations. So we've received an internal cash grant from the College of Applied Science and Technology. We've received considerable in-kind support from University New Services, as well as the Information Technology Services Division, and other components here at RIT.
Can we give the website? Where can people go to find out more about the initiative?
www.rrcsei.org. RRCSEI.org for the Rochester Regional Cyber Safety and Ethics Initiative.
All right, Sam McQuaid, thank you very much for being inside Studio 86. We'll certainly have you back, I'm sure, as you have more and more research to tell us about.
I'll look forward to that. I appreciate the opportunity today.
Tune in next time for another in-depth discussion from Studio 86. Studio 86 is recorded live in Building 86 on the RIT campus, and is produced by RIT University News Services.